Hello everyone, welcome. This is Nyan Neko. Would everyone like to introduce themselves?
Sure. I'm a little 80s bunny on Reddit.
Hello.
Hi.
And we also have
Mr. Third Wheel over here, Saglaya, as always.
Third Wheel.
Oh no, it's okay.
All right, so I've posted, I added a couple questions to yours, Benny.
Okay.
So I posted it in the live recording text channel. I don't know if you can see that. Yeah.
Oh, okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So we're just going to go in order, and yeah. Question number one, have you been to an adult store and what was it like?
So the host can go first if you want.
Yeah. Sorry, who's going first?
You can go first.
Me?
Bunny Savage AF throwing you under the bus like that.
I have... And it was with my husband, so we went in with the intention of buying something. So, like, first couple steps was just really overwhelming. But the staff, they were really nice and really informative. So it was a good experience.
I'll go second. So I went shortly after I graduated high school. I went with my best friend, female friend at the time, and I was so nervous because, like, I had gone by the store before, but I never actually had walked in.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady went up to me, they're like, "Can I help you find something?" I'm like, just looking around. And, you know, I'm single. I'm not in any serious relationship. Just looking around, curious. But it was kind of awkward because I'm like, what are these things? But when I was older, I went with my husband and it's fun. You know, as long as employees don't kind of follow you around and, you know, start asking you personal questions, I'm like,
I've never been to an adult store.
You should. You should.
See, I think I'd get kicked out for harassing the employees.
what?
There's an Adam and Eve. I don't know why you found that so funny. There's like an Adam and Eve, like the nearest big-ish city, we would pass by every time that we went to the mall, which was interesting. The exit, I have family in Georgia, who's would very rarely come visit us. And I think the exit that they always took, was the one with the billboard for, some sort of erotic, shop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they always remembered where to get off, as it were.
we have a Hustler store out this way, so it's pretty nice. Yeah,
I haven't been to one in a while. Like last one I went to was before we moved. So,
do you get carded?
In an adult store?
Yeah, we've gotten carded before when we go in because we look young. We don't look old enough to be in there.
Oh.
So they always tell us, "Can we see some ID?" I'm like, okay.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's state specific, but we didn't.
Okay. Yeah, some of them, like, there's a sign on the door that says you have to be 18 or older to be in the store.
I see.
So we look real young. That's okay.
That's a good problem.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
next question?
Yes.
Okay. If you could change anything about your body, what would it be and why? I guess we're still going in order.
Yes.
I can take this one if you want.
Sure. Give me time to think.
Yeah. I think like the one thing I'm not super crazy about my body is that I've got some like beard around the cheek area that just isn't like, it just doesn't fill in all the way. And it's just kind of, it's not even like it's patchy. It's just like, just not dense. And I think that would definitely be the thing that would change, just filling out that old beard, you know?
I don't know. Maybe just to be a little bit taller. I'm like 5'0".
I'm only 5'3", so.
See, being 5'3" would be nice. Okay. That would be like my sister's height.
That's okay. That's like a full like shelf size difference.
Hey.
How tall are you?
I am 5'8", 5'9". So I think maybe like 5'8.5". Hmm. Yeah, if we were playing a game of pickup basketball, you guys would get dunked on so hard.
We're pocket size.
We're space efficient.
Yep. So let's see what I would change. So like I have a scar on my chest from heart surgery. So I've thought in the past about getting reconstructive surgery to fix kind of what kind of deformity, I guess, was caused like by the incision. But I think I'm at the point in my life where I've tried to just accept it. You know, that the scar, without the scar, I wouldn't be here. So, you know, it's kind of more of a bravery kind of thing. But I do kind of wish they were both the same size. And not like a huge scar going through one of them. But yeah.
Next question, number 3, what was sex education like at your school and what grade was it? So I went to public school in Canada. And I was in elementary school in the 90s. So, we actually had a sex ed talk twice. So I think the first time I was in grade 3 and then again in grade 5. But we watched like an informative video with diagrams and stuff. And then, cause I had split guys and girls. So in the grade 3 talk, the guys got to play like kickball or something. And then in the grade 5 one, we watched the same video, but they still split us up. Apparently, it was a riot with the guy's side when they saw their video, and that moment of showing an erection was just laughter throughout the whole thing. We watched the guy's video as well, and we were all just like giggling throughout it, but apparently not giggling and laughing as hard as the boys were.
You have to understand, in teenage boy culture, the boner is one of the pillars of comedy. Yeah. It goes boners, anything tasteless, and then like farts.
And then farts.
Yeah.
For me, so when I was in third grade, we had something called a maturity tea party that was for mothers and daughters, which was actually kind of cool. And I don't know what the guys were doing at that time, but it was just for us. Like, it was in the gym and all the girls were there. And it was mostly just to learn about periods and stuff. But I kind of think they might have mentioned something about reproduction.
Mm-hmm.
And then in sixth grade, we had like a whole week where we learned about the reproductive systems. And we had to carry a bag of flour around as a pretend baby. I don't know if you had that in school.
We didn't, but I've always seen that in movies. I didn't realize it was a grade six thing. I thought it was like high school.
Yeah, like the head was like a jar of spaghetti sauce. It was like this weird, awkward like thing to carry around. And then in eighth grade, we watched the really graphic childbirth video.
Oh yeah, yeah, that us too.
I couldn't even like. I kept looking away. I was like, I cannot watch this. This is ugh.
Yeah, that was biology class for a day.
And then I think in ninth grade, we had some kind of health sex ed class, and it was mostly like slides of like diseases and things and like to really scare the crap out of you.
Ah, scare tactic.
Yeah, majorly.
Hmm.
But yeah, those are my memories.
So for me, it was public school as well. It sounds like you guys had it a lot more graphic than we had it. in fifth grade, I think we had like a video about the upcoming changes of puberty, although I don't remember anything graphic. And then in seventh, no, I think it was like eighth grade, and then again in ninth grade, we had like abstinence units in our PE classes that kind of counted. Which we didn't learn anything useful from.
But was it also scare tactics a little?
Oh yeah, they showed us those pictures of just like the green vagina and the penis covered in mushrooms. Which I was sitting right in front of like a very Christian, very straight laced girl, and she was just having a bad day with all that.
Nice.
Yep.
Question four, have you ever wet your pants in public? Like full on wet your pants? Probably not. Maybe as a child, but I don't remember.
So I was in either first or second grade. We had bathroom passes. And if it was green, that means you could use the pass and go to the bathroom. If it was red, that meant that somebody was in the bathroom. There was only two passes. And apparently some kid forgot to change it back. So,
oh no.
Yeah. So it was story time, and I was sitting on the carpet with everybody. It was not a good thing. had to go to the nurse's office, was crying, had to bring, you know, my parents had to bring new clothes for me. And then the only other situation I remember was, so I actually had accidents through my early teenage years, actually. Which was really embarrassing. So I was at a slumber party with a couple of girls in eighth grade, and that was just right before it stopped happening, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
But I was sleeping on her floor, her carpet, and I had an accident. And I told her right before I left that I'm like, I'm so sorry. I couldn't control it. And she got really, really mad. And would not talk to me for years. Like, I'm talking like 9, 10 years. She refused to talk to me.
Wow.
And that just like broke my heart because I'm like, there was nothing I could have done.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I have never wet myself in public, although my senior year of college, I kind of like developed I wouldn't say I developed anxiety, but I had kind of like anxiety or like stress triggered, like a very urgent and very persistent need to go to the bathroom, which was like, it was like that, like 24/7 for like multiple weeks.
Mm.
And nothing ever like happened. But it definitely felt like it pretty much all the time. So dodge that one.
Question five. What was the first lovemaking scene you saw in a movie where you were sitting with your parents? I think we were watching TV and it was just me and my mom, and she changed it pretty quickly, but it was like, I don't even remember what we were watching, but there's one scene where you would see the lady's lovely backside, and I just remember the dimples on her back before my mom changed the channel.
So the first one I actually remember was I was 12 and I was watching, it was in the theaters. It was Romeo and Juliet.
Hmm.
And I was with my mom, and it was really awkward because I was one of those girls back then that was just completely in love with Leo.
Yes.
So I was just like blushing so much and just like looking at my popcorn like, yeah, this is great popcorn, mom, you know? Yeah, totally not watching the screen. And then the next one, of course, was Titanic and the car scene. And that was just, I got to the point where I would actually sit a couple rows in front of my mom or dad because I just couldn't handle sitting close to them watching any kind of Leo movies. So, yeah.
For the listener, Leo is short for Leonardo DiCaprio, the actor.
Yes, thank you.
I don't have any specific recollections of my first. I was one of those kids, like the kid from Princess Bride, the whole kissing story thing. So anytime any kissing would happen, I would just like just start looking at my Game Boy instead. But I do remember like certain, I guess like still photos almost of just like erotic stuff happening. And, like one particular of like, I think it was like a lady with like a rich guy in like Italy or something. And, like they're waking up and like her titties are out and he's like going down to like kiss him. I was like, what the fuck?
Next question, I guess. Question seven. No, question sorry. Six. Question six. Whoa, yeah. Sorry. If your partner cried after lovemaking from joy and overwhelming happiness, how would you feel/react? My husband doesn't cry often, so I think that would really throw me off. I would think something was wrong.
Yeah, I think I would have that same reaction too. Yeah, either that or like just like, nah, it would probably just be like really like frightening and like weird.
So I actually do this sometimes. I don't know why. Sometimes I just can't help it.
Yeah.
But sometimes it just happens. And he knows me enough now that he knows that I'm okay, that I'm just really happy. And like just the emotional connection is just like overwhelming. So, yeah. It's nice. I don't remember if my husband's ever cried. I don't think so. I mean, maybe like when we were dating and it was still like new to us, because we were actually, we were each other's first.
Aww.
And so maybe the first like time or two that he did get a little emotional, but from that point on, it was just occasionally me being the emotional one.
Yeah. Yeah. Our first times were very awkward. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
but like hilariously awkward.
Okay, maybe for a future question.
Maybe not. Question 7, should sex ed in schools be expanded to not just abstinence only or fear tactic, i.e. sex will automatically result in pregnancy or STDs, so don't do it?
I'm just going to go ahead and say yes, because I live in the Bible Belt, so it's very Christian conservative down here, and parents don't want to think about their kids having sex just as like an abstract thing. What ends up happening is that kids just don't have good information to make informed decisions. And as a result, the county that I grew up in and went to school in had the highest rate of teen pregnancy in the entire state.
Did your parents ever talk to you about sex, or did you get it only from school?
I got a, my dad was a doctor, so I got like a very medical booklet of his own creation with pictures from the internet and diagrams and stuff like that. But it was very clinical, you know. It wasn't about healthy sexual behavior. It was about biological changes with puberty.
Yeah, my mom was a biology major, so she pulled out her textbook and informed me before school did. So when those talks came around, it wasn't a huge surprise to me. But like the whole like being intimate and that emotional side of things, I don't think. It's funny because my dad talked more about that to me after I got engaged, which is weird. I think in schools, definitely more information is helpful rather than fear tactics. Because, yeah, I don't know. It's just like imposing one view of the world. I don't know. That's a whole different topic.
Yeah, I definitely think it should be more than just one opinion. Like, I know when I was in school, there was girls that were saying they were doing it. And we did have, I think, one or two girls that were pregnant in my grade. And it just, I felt kind of frustrated because it's like, I kept hearing, you shouldn't do it, don't do it, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's horrible, all these consequences. But it's like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, we're teenagers. Some of us are going to do it. Like, you can't stop us. So, and I think after I graduated, I learned that some nurses' offices in schools actually had condoms. Like, you could go to the nurse's office if you were wanting protection.
Yeah, ours did.
I don't think ours did. I wish they did. Because I think that's like a really great idea. Have it be like a discreet, private thing. But yeah, I just, more like options, like not just one option, but talk about how to be safe, how to be healthy. Not like, I know we did get the talk of how to put a condom on, but that was pretty much it. It stopped there.
Yeah.
Nothing else about how to be safe. So yeah.
Did your talk include consent as well?
No.
Yeah. Ours didn't either.
No. And my parents didn't give me the sex talk at all. They didn't talk anything about sex with me. I don't even remember my mom really even talking about periods at all. So pretty much whatever I learned in school.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Hmm. Sorry, I ran to the next question. When you were a teenager, i.e. before you were intimate with anyone, what did you imagine lovemaking would be like? So I started writing fan fiction for the anime Inuyasha around age 14-ish. So I would assume that most other writers were around the same age as me. So we're all kind of writing about lovemaking, but not really knowing what it is. So, like, I don't know. It's like that fandom created its own format of lovemaking, which was not realistic at all. And I think I knew that. I don't know. I think I thought it would just be really messy. Yeah.
So yeah, I was about your age when I started writing fan fiction as well. And
like around 13, 14,
probably, yeah. About something about Savage Garden. I don't know if you remember that band. Or something about Leo, I guess, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I just kept thinking, I know I thought about it a lot because I used to write about it a lot.
Because
mm-hmm. I was one of those, like, I would read romance novels and I would only read the love scenes. But one of the things I was always worried about was it was going to hurt. I think that's what I was really afraid of, is that it was going to be like super, super painful. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say you were into a band called Something About Leo?
No. No, the band was called Savage Garden.
Oh.
It was in 1997. Okay. So, like, yeah, 14 years old.
Okay. Yeah. It's going to be like Something About Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah, well, I wrote stories about him, too, when I was a teenager. So, it was two different people.
Mm. I think I was earlier than that when I didn't ever do writing, but I did, I guess you would call them like head cannons or something like that. Sort of the same way that fanfic writers ship characters.
Mm-hmm.
I think for a long time I shipped Harry and Hermione from Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Because obviously. In which, by the way, the epilogue to the last book, where Hermione ends up with Ron, killed any interest I ever had in that series. I was like, how can you make such a bad choice, J.K. Rowling? But as far as, like, the actual act, I don't think I really had, like, a concrete idea of what it would be like. I had been watching porn by my teenage years, so I guess I had like a mental picture of like what the action would be, but I didn't really think about any of the other sensory sorts of stimulations or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Because it's all visual at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They haven't invented that smell technology yet for computers.
Thank God. Number 9. How do you feel about buying condoms or pads/tampons? Or if you need to buy tampons for a girl, Saglaya. I tend to group condoms in with my groceries, so it's not like we're just buying condoms. And pads and tampons, I could care less. Those are essentials.
Have you gone to a store and saw condoms in a case? Like a plastic case that you have to get a key for?
I don't think so.
Okay, so that's how it is at our grocery store. And I was with my husband, and we were looking for where the condoms usually were, and they weren't there. And we looked in another aisle, and they were actually inside a case, like a clear case. And we looked at each other, we're like, what do we do now? So we're like, do we have to, like, go to the pharmacy with this box? Or, like, do they have to, like, call on the PA system? Like, hey, we need a key for the condom box. So suffice it to say, we were too, like, nervous, I guess, to ask anyone. So my husband's like, all right, let's just forget it. So he eventually went somewhere else to get them, and they weren't in a case. But mm-hmm. apparently people have been stealing condoms.
Oh, I see. Okay. I see.
So they started putting those in cases. Condoms, I'm not really that embarrassed to buy. Pads, I don't know. They still kind of make me nervous a little bit.
Really?
A little bit. Oh. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think because my mom never really gave me much of the talk, it wasn't really something like if I had cramps, I wouldn't tell her. Like, I felt too embarrassed. Right. So still to this day, a lot of it kind of embarrasses me about it. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think I read an article. I think it was either one school or one entire district in my hometown. They are now providing free pads and tampons for their entire school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I started getting it, so when I went to that maturity tea party, they gave us pads and tampons when we were younger. And then when those ran out, I was too embarrassed to ask my mom to buy them for me. So I actually went and took some from her box that she had and, like, snuck some because I was just too embarrassed to say anything. I get embarrassed real easily.
I don't really feel bad about buying anything, really. It's a free market. It's my money. Who cares what I do with my money? Okay? Who are you to judge me, lady at CVS? You're working at CVS.
Wow.
You know what I'm doing with my morning? Getting on with my life. I think the only, like, insecurity I would have about buying ladies' hygienic products is just buying the wrong one. Like, I feel if I was with a girl and she needed me to go on a run for those, I feel like I would have to, like, snap a picture of the box.
Yes. If in doubt, just buy everything.
True.
Well, because I don't want to go to the place and be like, shit, there's, like, so many.
There are.
And hey, baby, what size is your pussy? Do I need to get mediums or the large?
Wow, that's not.
Just fill the cart. Get a whole cart full and just
get one of each.
Yeah. That's why you get a variety pack.
I've looked. They don't sell variety packs except for, like, the teen starter packs for, like, tampons. At least our groceries.
Okay, well, they need to start something like that.
I know. Have you seen those, like, period subscription boxes? I was talking about this with Skye.
Yes. Those look so cool.
Cool, but expensive. But you get chocolate, so, like, struggle.
That's perfect. Yeah. I wonder who started that. Was that started by a girl or a guy? Probably a girl.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. It'd be cool if a guy started that, though. Mm-hmm. If that was a guy's idea. Oh.
Number 10. How do you feel about society's general taboo feeling towards or about menstruation and what can be done about it to help girls feel less embarrassed or guys feel less, quote unquote, in the dark about what girls go through. I would hope us talking about this would help a little bit with our recording right now. But I mean, like, just generally feeling more comfortable talking about bodily functions. Ask questions, I guess, if you have them.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, sorry.
Good.
I think it kind of starts... It should start at a young age, like when girls are learning about it, you know, guys should learn to feel comfortable or sort of feel comfortable with talking about it or, you know, asking questions about it and not feel like it's not right for them to ask or they're like too nervous to ask or it's not my problem, so I don't need to know. That's the attitude that I really don't like.
Mm, yeah.
And that's unfortunately how a decent amount of guys in this world feel, I guess, is, you know, they say, well, I'm a guy, I don't need to know about it. But it's, even if you are single and you don't have a girlfriend, it's still good to be educated and know about it. And, mm-hmm. you know, you won't experience it, but at least be understanding and sympathetic and yeah.
Yeah. Like I have a guy friend. He always keeps tampons on him for his coworkers or friends.
Aww. That's sweet.
I will say, as a guy, I've just never had any intellectual curiosity about any of that stuff, which maybe it's like just like an out of sight, out of mind mentality. I did find it super gross when my sister just left her bloody stuff just hanging out in the trash can. I was like, can you please like put that in a wrapper so I don't have to see the blood?
mm-hmm. But I mean, like, you at least you have a sister, so you have that experience and knowledge.
Right.
The experience and knowledge of seeing a bloody tampon. I never talked to her about any of that stuff, so like...
Would you now? As an adult?
Our family just doesn't have lots of conversations like that.
Hmm.
So probably not.
Okay. Just asking.
Yeah.
Next question.
Mm-hmm.
What was your kiss like? I think... I talked about this already, but it was very sloppy and not fun. It was memorable, but not for the right reasons.
My first kiss was when I was 15. I had gotten to know this guy online, and he was my age, and we were online friends for 5-6 months. Before he flew out with his family and met me. And he spent 4 days in a hotel, not like at my parents' house, but he would come over during the day and we'd hang out. And we had talked about kissing, but I didn't know if I was actually ready. But mm-hmm. he really pressured me because he said, you know, oh, I'm only going to be here for a few days. You know, oh, it's no big deal. It's just kissing. You know, what are you waiting for? You know, I don't want to leave this state and not have kissed you. So I kissed him and it was okay, but the situation was just, I felt really pressured and I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see him after that?
It's a really long story.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah. let's just say it really went downhill after he left.
I see.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So I have still not had my first kiss. because I am painfully shy. And when I was a teenager, I was an abrasive, gross neckbeard. And so, yeah, I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Yeah.
We said the same time. Aww. Not to embarrass you.
Yeah, I know.
Number 12. What's one thing you'd say people of your gender are insecure about? I mean, like, aside from boobs and dick size.
Wow. Just when I was about to say that we men, the driving concern in our life is how small our boobs are.
Well, I mean, to be fair, some guys I think would.
Yeah. I think for guys, height is a big thing. And I think I haven't experienced it personally because I just don't talk to people. But it seems like in lots of the interactions I hear other people have, who have social lives, is that there's a big stigma against being short or even just like not being 6 foot, which I think 6 foot is like considerably above average.
I think it's because Americans are so tall.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't even think like American girls are that tall though.
I mean, like in comparison to other countries, globally.
Yeah, but it's like, chick, you 5'4". you tell me that your man being 5'7" ain't tall enough. Come on.
Yeah, I don't get that. Go ahead.
Oh. Did you want to say something about number 12 too? About something else?
I was going to say like a woman's figure and having like that waistline.
Oh.
I feel like is one of them.
Yeah, like some girls want to have like the hourglass shape, which I don't know. I would say, and this might be the same with both genders, but just their skin, like blemishes and stuff. Like if people don't have clear skin, they really like stress out about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which doesn't help.
Yeah. And it's really, I mean, unless you have like really good foundation to cover it, it's hard for that problem to really, for people to really feel confident in themselves about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's something that people see every day. It's not like people see your boobs every day, you know?
Oh, man. Wouldn't that be the life?
Well, no, I would argue that people, not like completely naked boobs, but I mean like push-up bras and all that stuff do exist. So, yeah. I mean, yeah. Saglaya, do you find push-up bras to be misleading?
I think yes, but at the same time, I'm okay with it.
Okay.
Because I don't think generally, I mean, for the discerning viewer, are you really going to be fooled? I mean, come on, right? Like, even boobs can only look so good, you know?
Have you felt a padded bra?
I have like, not.
it's like cup size versus how much padding there is, and sometimes there's more padding than cup size. It's really
weird. Oh, yeah.
It's like, how is that comfortable?
You're 2 cup size bigger today. How did that happen?
Next question.
Actually, I wanted to circle back real quick to number 7. How do you think the world would be different if sex automatically resulted in pregnancy or STDs.
How do you think the world would be different?
Yeah.
Wow. I've never thought of that.
I think it would definitely be more of a fear tactic then.
I assume you guys have never read Black Hole?
No.
I think it's called Black Hole. It's a graphic novel about these kids, these teenagers in high school, having sex, but like the STDs that they get are like, I guess I would say like horrific. Like people like grow like antlers and like dog tails and like their skin like melts off. And it's very weird, but it's cool.
It's very weird, but it's cool.
In a book. As for me personally, how do I think the world would change if every time you had sex, you got pregnant? What do I think would change? Not a damn thing. All right.
Moving on.
Question 13. What's a concern you have right now or recently about your own personal sexual health?
I think for me personally, for a long time, it was just about too much masturbation. And to the point where, like, if it's like a daily like ritual where it's like you have trouble falling asleep if you don't do it, it kind of gets to be like a thing where it's like it's good, but it's also bad. So like, which do I go with?
It was more of a like moral/emotional standpoint. For you?
A little bit, just in the sense like, I think I've talked to you about how I don't do drugs or alcohol just because I don't like that thought of not being in control.
Mm-hmm.
And if my dick is preventing me from going to sleep, man, I gotta make some changes, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. So that's where I was at. Not recently, but I don't know, like a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
Should I go next, or do you want to go next? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So this is kind of a long story, but so because I have a lung issue, I get tired pretty quickly, and so me and my husband aren't really together that often, unquote. So it's weird. Pain is, I guess, sometimes still an issue. Because my body's just not really used to it.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to, like, when we were dating, we were doing it all the time. But then as we've gotten older and married for many years now, it's harder because he's often busy and, you know, doing things and work and stuff. And I'm very much a emotional connection kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
And he's more of like the physical connection. So it's hard to find that common match with our limited time. So we aren't really doing it very much. So it makes, when we actually do it, not that comfortable.
You what? Said do.
And there has actually been situations where after sex, I will be actually upset because it hurt pretty bad.
Yeah.
So, and then he feels bad that he hurt me, and then I feel bad that it's just like an endless cycle. And I actually try to do physical therapy, and that seemed to have helped, but it's still the bottom line of trying to find time together, which is hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
I think for me, if we're talking about like physical concern, it would be my hips and my knees. Cause I think it's a little bit similar to you, Bunny. It's like during, I don't say anything and then I just end up hurting myself.
Mm.
Yeah.
You guys start wearing pads or something?
No, it's not like...
You gotta suit up, girl.
it's not like abrasive injuries. It's like my joints and putting too much pressure on... Or like too much weight on them. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Can you find other positions that would be more easy on your knees?
If you have any suggestions, let me know.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
No, you don't have to. Yeah, I think it's getting over that like communication hurdle in the bedroom. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a struggle for a lot of couples. It's mm-hmm. common.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Number 14, what's one thing that you find sexy that most people wouldn't? Or it's not like your traditional quote unquote sexy whatever thing. I guess I'll go first. I find it sexy when either a lady or a man has their neck exposed. Like, even if it's like her putting her hair up or him having like a really nice haircut or whatever, but like the back part of the neck, like behind the ear area, is really sexy to me.
Hmm. Mine's kind of, I don't know. So eyeliner?
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, if a guy wears eyeliner, I think that's really cool. What?
Like.
you guys have never seen Semi-Pro with Will Ferrell, have you?
No.
No.
It's a dumb basketball comedy. And there's a scene where they're all wearing eyeliner as like a psychological like scare tactic to like psych out the enemy team. And halfway through, they're sweating so much that the eyeliner runs into their eyes. And they're just all falling to the court, just clawing at their eyes because the mascara is burning their eyeballs out.
I think I know where that interest came from. So when I was younger, I was really into the movie The Crow. And I think seeing that guy with black eye makeup is mm-hmm. really what kind of set it off later on in my later years.
Are we talking like a smoky eye with like the bottom tight lined and all that?
Even something simple is just basic, just under the eye, just eyeliner
yes.
itself.
Okay, yeah. You're like yeah. lower lashes as yeah. well. Yes, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I gotta represent for all the ladies and the guys out there who love just a nice, muscular, thick, with two C's, pair of calves.
Oh.
You can't give me no twig-legged girl. You gotta give me a girl with a leg that, you know, bam.
So heels are a must then for you?
I do generally like heels, and it's a shame that I think the girls who wear heels the most, at least like in college, were the girls I was least interested in, but who had the best calves.
Yep. You should try wearing a pair of heels and
yes.
see what your calves feel like afterwards.
Yes.
I've tried doing like calf raises and it's you can't do it for long.
Walk around on your tiptoes for like 5 minutes.
I can't do that.
Um, Last question. What type of voice is attractive to you? I'm going to say that the traditional sexy voice of like the really deep bass actually scares me a little bit in the intimate context. So anything that's not too low is perfectly fine for me.
Yeah, I'm actually the same way. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you didn't answer the question, Neko. What type of voice is unattractive to you?
What type of voice is attractive to me? Like a tenor voice, if we're talking like singing voice, I guess.
So not like too high, but something sort of high a little bit?
What pitch are we talking here? Are we talking a C3?
I don't know.
Are we talking like an A440 hertz?
I don't know.
I'm lost.
Wait, are you talking frequency or music?
They're kind of the same thing.
I know, but I mean like...
You're the one who brought up tenor and nobody knows what that means.
Have none of you been in choir before?
It was a long time ago. I was like probably 7th grade.
I'm just going to stick with tenor because, like, that's the only way I can describe it.
So let's see. For me, something, yeah, that's definitely not too deep. Really deep voices kind of sound intimidating to me. Like, I don't know, I wouldn't want to meet them in, like, a back alley or something. But... accents too, like French, Australian, British, some British. But yeah, something kind of soft that if you listen to it long enough, it might put you to sleep, but like a very blissful sleep.
Okay, so like a more calming voice.
Yes.
Then
only a deep sleep that the Australians can give you, love. Nothing says relaxing like a day on the outback.
A for effort.
That's very high marks for an effort. So I think for me, I do like the soft, like girlish, very demure voice. But I think every now and then I am partial to the more husky, smoky lady voice.
Do you find like super stereotypical, like, oh my God, girly voice really off-putting?
That one is pretty bad.
Okay. Just checking.
Anything like any popular girl voice puts me off. Yeah.
People say the word like in between every other word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gotta give me the bookworm girl voice or the goth chick voice.
Ooh, goth chick. Yeah. Yes.
Because they're the ones who are into stuff.
What about,
if you know
like,
what I mean.
What about weebs? Anime. But I guess otakus would be like introverted. That's, I guess that's a whole other topic.
That's taking a big risk on the weeb. You don't know what you're getting into that with that.
I apologize to all the weebs out there. Cool. All right.
Yay.
Got 315 questions. I will post the questions as well. But thank you so much for joining, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. Bye.